fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're here again today with Dr. Peter Williamson, who's the Adam Cardinal Mita Chair of Sacred Scripture at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit, and really the co-editor of the Catholic Commentary for Sacred Scripture, which we've been talking about all week. And it's one of the great tools today, I think, to help make the Scripture more accessible just to ordinary folks. It's got good scholarship in it, but it's meant to be put in the hands of everyday people as well, so we can fall in love with the Scripture and understand it and not be intimidated by it. I use it all the time, and I'm really very thankful for it. Before I welcome Dr. Williamson, I want to remind you tonight on EWTN television at 10 p.m. is Crossing the Goal. You can tune into the program. That's Eastern Standard Time. And then on Sunday at 6:30 p.m. and on Monday morning at 6:30 a.m. So welcome back, Dr. Williamson.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Yeah, friends, if you didn't hear the programs Monday through Wednesday, go to the Renewal Ministries website. So they're all there. You can listen to them on your computer, download them, put them on your iPod, listen to them at your convenience. And so we ended yesterday's program, and I want, Peter, for you to comment on this, is that amazing passage in chapter 12. We talk about the great battle in heaven. Michael throws down the dragon, Satan, and then he's thrown down to earth, and it talks about those who follow Jesus and their conquerors. That's kind of a theme throughout the book, isn't it? To be a conqueror in
exactly.
The Lord, you know? And so, and they have, I'll just read it, then you can comment. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. What does that mean? Blood of the Lamb, word of their testimony.
Well, it's a celebration right here, even though it's not the end of the book. It already celebrates the end because the end of the book is certain. The victory of Christ and of the church and of eternal life with God is going to come about. So it celebrates that even halfway through the book here. And it says, so now the salvation, the power, and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. Satan has been cast down. The accuser of our brethren has been thrown down. They have conquered him, and then it picks out three things, by the blood of the Lamb. So we conquer Satan by the death of Jesus. Because he atoned for our sins, because he suffered in our place, because he died on the cross for you and me, we are free. We are free of Satan's power. We do not, none of us needs to live subject to Satan's power because the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all our sins. And that's a wonderful truth that we can celebrate. We are free, and we can push back against the devil. We can push back against those guilt and accusation that we feel. We can push back against all that by saying, I am free by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah. His death on the cross freed me. Secondly, we conquer him. So it's grace. It's something that Jesus did is the means by which we conquer, the blood of the Lamb. But the second thing is by the word of our testimony. We're called to be witnesses. We conquer Jesus when we tell our friends and neighbors the truth about him, when we own up to being a Christian, to being a Catholic, when we bow our heads and cross ourselves in the restaurant. We're bearing witness. When we speak the truth to our sons and daughters about their lifestyle, when we love people, but we tell them the truth, gently, but we tell them the truth, and we tell them, look, Jesus is the answer. Come to Jesus. Pray. You need help. Pray. I was just talking to my Muslim neighbors and prayed with them yesterday because of their job situation. And I prayed in Jesus' name that the Lord would help them find employment. So it's the word of our testimony that we conquer the devil by. Christians simply tell them the truth about Jesus. And then third is, we conquer him by loving not our lives even to death. In other words, we place Jesus above our own life. Even if it meant dying for him, we're going to be faithful to him. I know of Chinese Christians who are faithfully bearing witness to Jesus, even though it costs them stuff, even though it may mean the risk of prison or jail or they lose jobs. I have a friend right now who just lost a job because of his faithfulness to the gospel, not consenting to bearing witness to the truth and not agreeing to the lie. The pressure is to be silent or to agree to the lie.
Yeah. We talked about yesterday the spirit of the Antichrist at any given time in history. The spirit's at work trying to get Christians to turn away from Christ, to not be witnesses, to pressure them and threaten them in different ways. Now, I personally see that same spirit, Pete, present in the deconstruction of the family that's happening in our culture.
Absolutely.
And how businesses and political forces and things are forcing people to genuflect to an ideology and approach that is inconsistent with the teaching of Jesus.
Absolutely.
And we know it's not good, but people are losing their jobs. People are literally, and people are getting fined and the rest of it.
Yeah.
That's the kind of pressure. And these are moments of witness. And lots of people just want to back up and be quiet. I don't want to say a thing. I just want to live my own life. And this reality is unfolding right now, isn't it?
Absolutely it is. It's just like in the days of St. Thomas More, you know, Henry VIII. All Henry VIII wanted Thomas More to do was to say his marriage was okay. And Thomas More didn't go out of his way saying your marriage is adulterous, blah, blah, blah. He didn't do anything. But he would not consent. He would not genuflect.
Yeah.
And in the end of the day, he got killed for that. He wanted to live. He didn't really want to die. But he put love of the truth and love of the church and love of Christ above his love of his own life and love of his own family.
His own comfort and his own image and his own position in society, all those things, you know, they can be fine, but not if they're not under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And that's really the definition of what it means to be a disciple, is we've allowed the Lord to bring all of that whole enterprise of our life under the lordship and majesty of Jesus. We belong to him. We're no longer our own. We belong to him.
Yeah.
And dying that way is the greatest way to go.
Exactly. You know? It's a wonderful way to go.
Yeah. Now, before we jump on to a couple of things, Peter, there's in this section you were talking about, chapters 11, 12, 13, there's these outbursts of praise in heaven. We give thanks to the Lord God Almighty that you've taken great power and you've begun to reign and that he's reigning. But oftentimes it doesn't feel like the Lord's reigning.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like the devil's winning, almost like the Lord of the Rings. It feels like evil's greater than good.
Yeah.
It feels like the Antichrist powers are going to win a victory. And I think people get very discouraged.
Yeah.
Yet this is proclaiming the victory and that he's already, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. How do you make sense out of that?
Well, I think this is one of the important messages of the book of Revelation, is that although it seems dark, although it seems like evil is triumphing, in fact, Jesus has won the big battle already. And the kingdom of God's establishment is absolutely certain. And there is going to be a judgment day, there's going to be accountability, and there's going to be victory and salvation for the people of God. And so in the book of Revelation, all the way through the book, before you reach the final chapters where the New Jerusalem comes down, they're celebrating the victory. And we can do the same. You know, we do it in the liturgy. We do it when we personally praise God. We do it when we thank and praise God in the midst of our difficulties. If we say, thank you, Lord, for this trial. Thank you, Lord, for this hardship. I'm trusting you, Lord, to bring the victory. Recently, a friend of mine, I was at a prayer meeting, a friend was saying, our job is to praise God, to entrust ourselves to him, and to thank him that he's taking care of things, and commit and trust our problems and needs to him, and then thank him.
Yeah.
And as we have that disposition of trust, we see his action unfold in our lives, as we have that position of faith.
Right. There, that's the word. I was just thinking about myself, that we live by faith, not by sight.
Exactly.
Says, right? The faith, and faith isn't just some blind, you know, blind trust. We know by confidence in the revelation of God and
the word of
the
God.
Testimony, the word of God, that this is true. And so we order our lives. Sanity for means ordering our lives to the truth that Jesus is Lord. And he has our life in the palm of his hand. He has our parish in the palm of his hand. He has our families in the palm of his hand. We need to declare that. We need to step into that and live as if that's true.
And we need to pray into it. We need to pray for the things that we believe God wants, for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We know that a lot of it's not being done on earth as it is in heaven. We need to pray it into pass, trusting in God to act, you know, to pray, as Jesus said, you know, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, you know. Of course, reading the Word of God is tremendously important to keep that heavenly perspective. If we just are watching TV all the time and we're hearing the news, we are going to get so depressed and we're going to think that evil is presiding. That's why we need to read the book of Revelation. We need to read the Gospels.
We need a renewed mind. We need the Holy Spirit to touch our mind with God's Word, to cleanse our mind. Now, Peter, there's a word that people talk a lot about the rapture.
Yeah.
I don't even know if it's a book of Revelation word. But
it isn't.
But it's a big deal. They make movies and it's sold millions upon millions of books that the Christian people are going to be raptured out of this great and final tribulation so they don't have to suffer or something.
Yeah.
And what is that? And what is the thousand-year reign? What are those two
things?
Oh,
my gosh.
Is that too much?
That's too much.
Okay, let's do the rapture. Tell us about the rapture first.
Okay. Well, yes, particularly dispensationalist Christians, fundamentalist Protestants, some evangelicals believe that before the great trials at the end of history happen, that Christians, true believers, will be caught up to God in heaven. And they take that from 1 Thessalonians 4. It says, "For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of the command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are left, who are alive, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord." So they take this passage from 1 Thessalonians 4 about what's going to happen when Jesus returns, and they apply that. They say that's going to happen before the tribulation and before the trials that are described in the book of Revelation. But there's no scriptural basis for saying that. What Christians believed from all the early centuries of reading it, and most Christians and most scholars have said that this means is right to the present day, is this is describing that when Christ returns, there will be some way in which the dead in Christ will rise and we who are alive will somehow rise to meet him. What that's really going to look like, God knows, I don't know. But that marks the end of history. We are not getting raptured out before the trials, which is what is commonly thought in the Left Behind movies, the Left Behind novels, the late great Planet Earth, and that dispensationalist vision. In fact, there's no place in the book of Revelation that says that Christians are going to be spared. Instead, the book of Revelation says again and again, this is a call for the endurance of the saints. Those who are going to captivity they will go. You know, it speaks about Christians conquering by their martyrdom. So the book of Revelation is abundant testimony that we have to be strong, we have to persevere, we're going to have some trials, we're going to have some temptations, we're going to have deception around us, we're going to have to make choices. It's a sober, realistic book. So that's what I'd say about the rapture.
Yeah, we have just about a minute and a half left, and I'm just thinking two things. One is Jesus, the catechism talks about the church is going to pass through her final trial,
yes,
the final Passover, following her master. And just like the apostles were martyred and the great many of the great saints. So that's just part of the Catholic understanding of a clear understanding of what the scripture is essentially saying, correct?
Yeah. Okay. And persecution goes with the territory. Yeah. It's taking place to us now. Some people are facing martyrdom if you live in Syria or Iraq. Here in the United States, we're facing social pressure not to confess the truth about family life, about sexual morality.
I'd like you to say a little bit about the Catholic Commentary series one
sure.
more time so
okay.
people can
yeah.
understand what you're doing there and how to get a hold of it.
Well, it's called the Catholic Commentary on Sacred Scripture. We will have 17 volumes. We have 11 of them already in print. It explains Scripture in ordinary language. It's good scholars who are also able communicators writing in ordinary language about what the Scriptures mean. It also has sections on reflection and application, historical background. It's available in online and any places, and try it out. Yes. Try one and see if you like it.
Yes, I've mentioned this week, I love this series. I use it quite a bit. I've got not only Dr. Williamson, Dr. Healy, Dr. Dan Keating, Dr. Scott Hahn. There's just a list of Father Francis Martin. So I think it's a real gift to help put the Word of
Father
God.
Father George Montague has written a couple of excellent ones. Father Tom Stegman.
Yeah. But we got to go. Good commercial. Friends, God bless you. Have a great day. Please tune in tomorrow. We're going to talk about heaven tomorrow. Have a good day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, Call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.